prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 for international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com. If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at the3w's.thepowerherbs.com.
1-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2-3-2
That's what we're going to do this hour. We had a great show. And thanks for joining us here in the American Voice Radio Network. Frank's ready. Yay! He says hi. Okay, so first up in the scheme of things here on the show, we're going to be talking about some common painkillers that affect emotions. So we talk about that, and we have Quack Report. But before we get to all that good stuff, Big Salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform, lifting this nation up in prayer, seeking the Lord, hitting the knees, mind the time, because it grows short. Today's devotional puts us in Matthew 6. It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt them, and where thieves break through and steal them. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt them, and where thieves do not break in nor to steal them. So, yeah, treasures in heaven, your crowns. Mm-hmm. Don't let anybody steal your crown. Yeah. Don't let anybody convince you that the Lord's not the way, because he is. He's the only way into heaven. So if you haven't known the Lord, please know him and mind the time, make her short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right. Thanks, Frank. Okay. We got a couple of things in the quack report. There was three doctors, Frank, that were suppressed by the medical establishment when they questioned the COVID vaccines. These were three physicians found themselves in sticky wickets, if you will, muddied waters when the medical establishment said they didn't like them questioning the safety of their COVID serums. So pediatric cardiologist Dr. Wade Hamilton was targeted by the medical board for refusing to suggest the COVID vaccine to a girl who had just recovered from the disease. Given that she had already recovered, he argued that the girl had natural immunity. He says, quote, "That's never been done previously in history, that you give somebody a vaccine or a shot that they already have natural immunity to. There is no information about the safety of the COVID-19 vaccine," end of quote. Next doctor was a Marine-based osteopathologist, Dr. Paul Grosslin. Osteopathologist. He said he had four complaints against him, all coming from healthcare professionals. They accused him of writing vaccine exemption letters for healthcare professionals, disseminating information about the COVID-19 and promoting drugs that were inappropriate for the disease, and the state medical board suspended his medical license with an emergency suspension. He says they're meant for physicians or other medical providers who, quote, pose a direct immediate threat to the public. He says, quote, "An emergency suspension means that my entire patient base would be left without a physician at a time when Maine had gutted the medical system of good physicians who did not want to get the dangerous vaccine and who were not willing to sell out patients to maintain their positions and licenses," he said. Doctor number three is board-certified OBGYN Dr. James Thorpe. He has been in practice for 42 years, and he did not hide his disappointment when medical institutions recommended the COVID-19 vaccine for women, especially pregnant women. According to Dr. Thorpe, cases of fetal deaths and miscarriages saw an increase since the vaccine was used. He said, quote, "It is unprecedented in the history of obstetrics that the different institutions in charge would violate the internal commandment on golden rule of pregnancy, which is never use a new drug or a vaccine in pregnancy without years of experience and extensive long-term safety trials and pregnancy outcome data," he said. So back in December 2021, Dr. Thorpe joined Ohio attorney and Brighton TV host Tom Rentz, Lawfare with Tom Rentz, the show, its program, where he denounced the bullying of the medical board. Apparently, he said, quote, "It's unethical, immoral, illegal, and unconstitutional. I will not stand and put up with this. And I'm not going to let them pull this off." End of quote from Dr. Thorpe. Well, God help him on that one. Let's all pray for these three doctors who stood for righteousness' sake. All right. Last but not least, in the quack report, if you have more than two children, it may be a sign you're linked to a weaker brain function. This is researchers from Columbia University and the University of Paris. They're reporting if you have more than two kids, you could have a negative impact late in life on your brain function. This study shows that older parents with just two children appeared sharper cognitively than those who had three or more children. They said, quote, "Understanding the factors that contribute to optimal late life cognition is essential for ensuring successful aging of the individual and social levels, particularly in Europe, where family sizes have shrunk and populations are aging rapidly." This is from Professor of Population and Family Health, Vargard Serbeck, Columbia School of Medicine. They go on to say, for individuals, late life cognition health is essential for maintaining independence and being socially active and productive in life. For societies, ensuring the cognitive health of the older population is essential for extending work lives and reducing healthcare costs and care needs. So as countries turn to social scores for living, this study could be used to argue that there should be a cap on the number of children a family would have. Their study did get published in the Survey of Health, Aging, and Retirement in Europe Journal. So if you notice, you know, I think China restricts how many kids you can have. So if you're not going to be vital, you're not going to be able to work longer than 65 years of age, you're going to be a drag on society financially, and they're not going to have it. That's how I'm looking at how that might be used. Hopefully not. But FYI out there, this is the social score thing where everybody has nothing and is happy. And that wraps Quack Report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Yes, Frank was catching that whiff of gift, and he says, just like the socialist Chinese where you can only have, what, one kid? All right. Sad, if that's the truth. Hope not. Let's jump into the common painkillers that could affect your emotions. This is according to several scientific studies. The common pain medication sold over the counter today, like acetaminophen, has the ability to affect empathy and emotion. So that is kind of similar to the antidepressants that also reduce empathy, isn't it? Yeah. Well, let's check this out. Let's see how this works. It's almost like a social analgesic, a lot of your painkillers. So when fellow humans are experiencing pain, either physical or emotional, there are drugs which can diminish our ability to experience empathy for those suffering from pain. So in October 2019, this is the National Library of Medicine, the NIH, they published a report on pain relievers called acetaminophen, and it reduced, quote, positive empathy emotion. Here's a quote from the report. They say acetaminophen, a potent physical painkiller, also reduces empathy for other people suffering. It blunts physical and social pain by reducing the activation of the brain in the areas of the anterior insula and the anterior cingulate. So these areas of the brain are thought to regulate emotional awareness and motivation, end of quote. Well, I don't think that a warning is on acetaminophen products, which would tell you that it could impair a related process of you experiencing positive empathy. I don't think that's on the packaging. Now, scientific reports in March of 2019 said that these over-the-counter painkillers have great psychological effects and, quote, influence social and economic trust. A quote from their report says, we find suggestive evidence that acetaminophen affects the basic social process of trust in 5 lab experiments. Whoa. Okay, so according to them, the scientific reports list the psychological influences. One was negative neighborhood trust. 2, negative feelings of social integration. 3, reduces influence of self-generated expectations on investments. And 4, trust-related behavior in general. So in the National Institute of Health, the double-blind research that they did, they found that acetaminophen will, 1, reduce personal pleasure, 2, reduce empathetic feelings for others in pain, 3, and reduce affective reactivity. So in essence, this drug has a neurochemical suppression in certain areas of the brain that house emotion. So if the emotions of empathy for others is directly related to, let's say, our experience with, you know, pro-social behaviors, this kind of raises the question, is acetaminophen or your Tylenol-type products also a psychological drug? And what will this do to society with continued long-term use? That's a good question. Here's a quote from the Social Cognitive and Effective Neuroscience Journal. This is by Professor Dominic Mischakowski, Ohio State University, who says, acetaminophen, the main ingredient in the painkiller Tylenol, found in more than 600 medications, reduces empathy. Acetaminophen also blunts the positive emotion of joy. End of quote. Wow. Well, what is positive empathy? What's an example of that? Well, you would be happy, let's say, for someone, you know, who has good fortune, right? You would celebrate with a person that had experienced success. And this seems to not be the case if a person is taking a lot of these painkillers. And likewise, if a person taking these drugs were to witness a person suffering from physical or emotional pain, they would not feel the empathy towards that person they normally should. So such drugs do not foster good psychological health, trust, intimacy, and social activities. Let's look at a quote from the National Library of Health. They said, positive empathy provides part of the, quote, social glue from which interpersonal bonds develop. This fosters interpersonal connections, trust, and pro-social behaviors, end of quote. Therefore, you know, without empathy, our society will suffer from a glut of important social benefits. And according to the National Library of Medicine, with more than 82 million Americans taking these type of painkillers on a regular basis, it will substantially reduce our overall social benefits, is what they're saying. It's kind of scary if that is what's happening. Let's look at the scans, because the National Institute of Health, they use a lot of MRI scans during their study to pinpoint the area of the brain that houses empathy, and it seems to be a very complex neurological area. Also, it involves emotional awareness and the effect of rewards on emotions. So our psychological affective experiences are housed in this area. So these expectations tend to guide and direct our responses to other people. So additional research states that when you're taking acetaminophen as an analgesic, a pain reliever, it will reduce your response to heat, electrical shock, and cold. Isn't that something, Frank? You know, I don't like it when, like, the little electrical outlet in the wall kind of bites me. You know, a little zap. Ooh, my nerves are burning. And I just don't like that. But, you know, I had a contractor come over, and he got bit, zapped, if you will, a couple of times. And I said, doesn't that bother you? He goes, nah, I'm used to it. I wonder if he was taking Tylenol or some other drug with Tylenol in it. Anyway, another quote from the National Library of Medicine. They say, acetaminophen affects a broad spectrum of psychological processes that are not limited to the processing of physical pain. They go on to say, because acetaminophen blunts or dulls the responsiveness of one's own pain and for the pain of others, we see an overlapping area in the brain with regards to positive empathy. So this would impair a person's ability to experience empathy for others in negative and positive empathy experiences. You know, you're happy for somebody who won the lottery, for instance, or you have empathy for someone, you know, that is sad, distressed, grieving. Let's look at society that would have less empathy. What do you suppose it looks like, Frank? And what did you say something? Who decides how much empathy, virtue, you know, is the proper level? Well, I think God does. I mean, I think all these Well, you know, your environment, your childhood does influence your character, but I think you have a connection with the creator, and I think that's part of it too. And a lot of these drugs kind of, you know, cut off the connection a bit. I know a lot of the psycho drugs, you know, for depression and anxiety and all these psychotropic drugs for mental illness, they tend to dull your consciousness area, which I believe is connected to the Lord above, creator of God, to help guide us here, not leave us, you know, kind of fending for ourselves. But let's look and see what society would be with less empathy. So the College of Healthcare Professionals, they did a study in November 2012, and they reported on a stark 40% decline in empathy among the students at the University of Michigan. And they said this, quote, "Empathy and sympathy are not the same. Empathy is understanding how another person feels and putting yourself in their shoes. Sympathy is acknowledgement of another person's hardship and providing them comfort and reassurance." They go on to say, there are two components to empathy. There's cognitive and emotional. Cognitive is the recognition or understanding part to identify another person's feelings and emotions. The emotional part is how we apparently react, and both have to be there for a person to be capable of having empathy. So a psychopath, for instance, they say, may be capable of recognizing someone's pain, but lacks the appropriate response, end of quote. They say again, quote, when a person starts to treat someone as an object, for instance, it is when they can become capable of cruelty. And we can explain human cruelty with the erosion of empathy, end of quote. Whoa, think about that. Think about that. Let's see. So the College of Healthcare Professionals go on to say this. There are many possible causes for human cruelty. Borderline personality disorders, genetics, hormones, cultural roots. But social networking may be one of the main causes today. People are not interacting face-to-face that much anymore. In order to be empathetic, you must learn to read a person's face, and you are not born with this ability. You develop it, end of quote. So with the lockdowns and the face masks, I'm thinking empathy has been taking a hit, especially with the younger folks, you know, not learning empathy. These kids, these little kids, what'd you say, Frank? Empathy has become just, you say, phony virtue. Signaling empathy does nothing for the one actually suffering, unlike sympathy, that is the actual comfort. Well, yeah. According to the definition, you would be spot on, Frank. But empathy would go a long way for, let's say, if you were writing policy or regulation and you had some sort of a legal job, making sure the laws, you know, don't impede those areas. So in other words, what was that law where if you came upon an accident, the Good Samaritan law, and you wanted to help somebody, and the Good Samaritan law in a lot of these states would protect you from being sued because you tried to do something helpful for the person, it's because you had empathy that they were injured, that kind of thing. So empathy is a very complex area, Frank. It's very complex. Would you say empathy is, I feel your pain, sympathy, what can I do to help you? Yeah. I think they're kind of intertwined, if you ask me. I don't think they're separate. I mean, the definitions are separate, but I think they go, they dovetail each other. It would appear to me, though, Frank, that lockdowns, face masks have really not helped with our younger generation developing empathy. And empathy is a valuable component for human survival. So without empathy, or sympathy and empathy, Frank, it is less likely we will be able to resolve conflicts. Here's a quote from the American Psychological Association on the matter. They say, when empathy declines, narcissism rises. So empathy goes down, and we get more narcissists. I couldn't really disagree with that, you know, especially with all the technology keeping people, you know, texting and not really having face-to-face, or video chatting and not being face-to-face, you know. It's just weird, you know, just weird. But there are alternatives, okay? So there are situations, I believe, when heavy pain medicines are going to be necessary. I do. Trauma care, you know, surgery, that kind of thing. So those are the areas of medicine, I think, that shine, that, you know, do have a place. Internal medicine issues with symptom management, that's where I have a problem. But the herbs that were used for pain by our ancestors, well, they're no longer legally available to us. So the herbs they used for pain, and they used them, when they used them appropriately, they were non-toxic, not mind-altering, or addictive. Now, such herbs are really not hard on the liver or your kidneys, like Tylenol and acetaminophen is. So today we want to use herbs for pain. It is usually for the common pain ailment, like, you know, minor traumas, inflammation, headaches. So an example, you know, I'll give you an example. I recently had a leg trauma, and it produced this large hematoma. If you don't know what a hematoma is, it's a really large bruise that blood collects under the skin, and it really needed medical attention, okay? So not a pleasant experience, I can tell you, but afterward I really managed without antibiotics and pain medicines. I relied heavily on my pain anti-inflammatory formula, my immune booster, and my blood cleanse formula so I wouldn't get an infection. And I was on limited physical activity for about 5 days. So the healing process was uneventful, which was good. So I like to use willow bark and meadow sweet for the pain and inflammation action. Liquid tinctures are really my preference. They're more potent. And they work much faster than capsules or tablets. So you can actually adjust the doses easily with the liquid tinctures. So if you're interested in finding more about that, call the folks at Apothecary Herbs and add your pain anti-inflammatory, the immune booster, and the blood cleanse to your stockpile of natural remedies, because they have a 10-year shelf life, and their herbal liquids, when they're appropriately stored, will last a long time. So give Apothecary Herbs a call. Their number is 866-229-3663. They make a professional-grade formula. It's what, you know, practitioners would give you. So 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972. You want to hurry, though, because you don't know what the future holds, and it may be hard to get some of these supplies, you know. You just don't know what's around the corner. They do have a free product catalog, so give them a call and get the catalog, and you can see what I mean. You can see what the tools are. You can learn how to use the tools, because they educate you on that, and it's empowering. It really is. All right, we got to take a little break, but we'll be right back with more.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. You can't control yourself any longer. Feel the rhythm of the music getting stronger. Don't you fight it till you fight it to that conga beat.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb. Henry Ford, the automobile. And herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
Is your PSA count high? Half of all men over 50 have an enlarged prostate. You can shrink your prostate without harmful drugs or risky surgery. The secret to healing the prostate is to cleanse the prostate and the liver. Call Apothecary Herbs to ask about the Prostate Kit for a comprehensive way to heal and soothe your prostate. Educate yourself on how easy it can be to disinfect, cleanse, and restore your prostate gland. Call Apothecary Herbs for the Prostate Kit and successfully reduce swelling, inflammation, dissolve stones, and cleanse the blood to obtain the results you need. Money-back guarantee with every purchase. Call the experts in organ cleansing. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Prostate Kit and empower yourself. Toll free 866-229-3663 or international callers 704-875-8010. That's toll free 866-229-3663 or visit the web at thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life. And you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, and I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online thepowerherbs.com.
Music. Frank is playing bouncy music. Thank you, Frank. Oh, yes. Well, yes. You don't get more bouncy than what you just played today. All right. Well, we're going to talk about real quickly a lot of subtle little things that can really corrupt or undermine our health. So enemies of our health is what we're going to talk about for the next few minutes, because there are lots of things that can compromise health, and some very subtle. And most would agree that, you know, for instance, poverty is probably one of the worst enemies of well-being, and history has shown us that major enemies of our health are plagues, war, genocide, and in the modern world, legalized abortion. So by far, man really is his worst enemy a lot of times when it comes to health, and all we have to do is look at the legalized laws for abortion, and over 2 million unborn children die annually. It's kind of shocking that man regards them. We regard ourselves as civilized, but we're not any better than the ancient world where they would sacrifice babies in rituals. So we tend to focus on the physical with regard to health issues, but a lot of times the mind can come into play with positive or negative things that can really affect the physical body. So we're going to check this out. We're going to look at what can rob us of health. And one important fact to remember is that fear can rob you of your health, and more importantly, your faith. So Discovery.com had a list of universal fears of what people fear most often, and they are things like terrorist attacks, spiders, a lot of phobias were on the list, fear of heights and stuff. Death was on the list, failure, fear to fail, war, crime, and violence. They're all on the list, and they also had things like, you know, being alone. Some people fear, you know, being alone, which I've known a few people through my life like that. Some people fear nuclear war, and some people just flat out fear the future. So other more common fears that they also included was public speaking. If you know, you don't want to get up and speak in front of people. Fear of the dentist. How about fear of water and fear of pain, fear of cancer, fear of snakes? There's a lot of fears out there. So experiencing some normal fear now and again is expected and it's pretty normal. But if you have a chronic fear, it will debilitate and hurt your health long term. So fear will actually preoccupy your mind, rob you of opportunities to be living well. Also will disrupt a lot of functions in the physical body, and you'll notice it. So fear is going to rob you of things like sleep, your appetite. It helps. Fear can decay cells and keep them from regenerating. Lower immune system functions when you're always fearful can also increase hypertension and deplete you of some healthy enzymes and minerals, and also disrupt healthy bacteria and promote an imbalance of the bad bacteria. So your digestion can come into play there, and it can reduce your energy, block vitamin absorption, and affect your mental clarity, and so much more. So don't let fear control your life and your health. Don't let that happen. A lot of times medications can be an issue. Always investigate your medications. Majority of the prescribed medicines that people get to address their health problems can create other problems down the road. It's disguised as a side effect, but really what that means is the drug has given you a secondary disease so that a doctor can legally write a prescription for the side effect. So diseases like phobias, anxiety, personality disorders, depression, these are all rooted in fear. They are. And the medications prescribed for them really don't address the fear, but only compromise it. You can get rebound effect from those drugs when you use them a while. And rebound effect is a medical term for, oh, you got insomnia worse than when you started, or you have depression worse than when you started. It just seems to magnify the problem, and the drugs don't work for you. The only fear that's really beneficial that we are told is to fear the Lord, and that means respect Him and listen and follow His way. So Proverbs 9, verse 10 tells you that. So fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It unlocks the door, and it gets the shackles off of you. See? So, and it's the knowledge, it's holy knowledge and understanding. It's far above what man could ever expect to get. So it's a gift. See? So this fear refers to, you know, respect the Lord's ways. It comes with wisdom. It comes with knowledge. And according to Proverbs 9:11, it says, "For by me the days shall be, your days shall be multiplied, and your years of your life will be increased." So that's a blessing when you do that. And Proverbs 29, verse 25, "The fear of man brings a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Oh, that word safe. The word safe. The word kind. The word peace. That's all a part of the kingdom of God. If you want to live there, you know what you got to do. So the Bible has a lot to say about fear. And if you have unnecessary fear, we're told your faith is weak, according to the Bible. So a little faith, it's called, a little faith in the Bible. So strengthen your faith. Draw near to the Lord and his word, and he'll dispose of the fear for you. You just ask him. You have not because you ask not. You know, you could just ask the Lord, and you can just count on his response for you, especially if it's going to be beneficial in you coming out of the world, walking the path of righteousness that he wants you to walk, a path of prosperity and a path of purpose. He's got a purpose for you. Just ask him what it is. He'll show you that path. And be ready for it, because it's amazing in a good way. It's it may have some challenges, but he's going to be with you on this path the whole time. Yeah. He'll take your hand and guide you. He'll make sure your steps are sure and you won't slip or fall. You may struggle a little bit personally, but yeah, he's going to be there. He's going to be there. So, because we're not perfect and he is. But don't let fear rule you. It ruins you. Don't let it do that. You know what works? What works is if you have a fear, you just tell the devil and all his demons to go away in the name of Jesus Christ, and they have to leave because you use the name of the Lord. They have to leave. You have that power right now as a child of God. All right, other things that we do to undermine our health. These things can disrupt the natural functions of the body and corrupt our well-being. Some of the things they're doing in agriculture, for instance, they're changing and altering the food, genetically modifying. They've reduced the nutrition in food when they do that. And this is scientifically proven because they've done studies of the crops that are produced today and compared it to the crops that were harvested in the 1920s, and they analyze the crops and the nutrition in the crops, and they have it all recorded, and we're 50% less than the food that they grew in 1920. We're doing something wrong when that happens. So when you know it's wrong, you stop doing that. You rotate your crops. You let the land rest. You don't just, you know, keep growing and throw a bunch of fertilizer down. You know the principles of good, you know, agricultural, but we're just not doing it. So University of Texas did this study, and where the most noticeable decline of our nutrition, and they discovered it's in the produce, it's really deficient in things like calcium, phosphorus, protein, riboflavin, iron, and vitamin C. And this study on nutrients was done in 1950, and they did it again in 1999. They did it on 43 different vegetables and fruits, and these findings were made available to the USDA. It was published in the Journal of the American College of Nutrition. So the nutrients will also give foods flavor, and this would explain why our conventionally grown crops produced today don't really have much flavor. Have you had a conventionally grown apple? It's kind of just watery tasting. It really doesn't have any. If you have a really good apple that's organic, it almost tastes like the flower that produced this apple on the tree. It has a aroma of, it has a floral aroma to it and a little bit of a floral taste. But if you have a conventionally grown apple, you don't get that. So nutrition should have flavor, is the point. And the Organic Consumers Association analyzed the nutritional value in produce also in 1975 and 1997, and they reported 27% less calcium, 37% less iron, 21% less vitamin A, and 30% less vitamin C. So it's not that it's not been published and it hasn't been out there. It has. So we depend on healthy food for our bodies to create things like enzymes to help digest our food properly, absorb nutrition and store it, and also to convert these nutritional elements into energy, like protein converted into amino acids, so it fuels for your cells. So the simplest functions, like, let's say, blinking your eyes, swallowing, how about taking a breath? These are all supported by enzymes. And if you're low in enzymes, guess what? Well, that gets difficult. And without proper enzymes, you could have an energy reduction of about 80%. So if we add in some stress, like we're living in extreme temperatures of hot and cold, being pregnant, or a loss of income, well, then the body is really going to require more enzymes than normal. Researchers think they can connect a lack of adequate enzymes to premature aging and also disease. I was talking to a guy, Frank, this past week, I think. Was it this week? Last week. He has, due to prescription drug therapy, he has a big, big problem with digestive enzymes, in the fact that he has hardly any. And he could, like, get up, get bathed, get dressed, and then he has to lay down again. He has no energy. So this is a problem, you know. So the digestive system or the gut has a big role to play. It helps bring in nutrition to the cells, but it's also an evacuation route for toxins. So the gut is probably the most important organ of the body because your life energy source is processed there. So without proper digestive functions, you won't absorb nutrients or convert them to amino acids, the protein to amino acids. So the overuse of a lot of prescription drugs have assisted in altering the biosphere of the gut floras of the digestive system, and in doing so, they have disrupted the bacterial balance that's essential to this type of health. So when a digestive system is not functioning normally, it affects the whole body, the fallout of the body, it's domino effect. It even impedes your immune system. So it affects your liver and your kidneys and also your blood. So people are desperately grabbing for the latest probiotics to try to restore this bacterial balance. And some folks do okay with this approach, and some make the situation much worse. Now, I did a study. I mean, I read you guys a study recently. What was it? Within the last 3 months, right, Frank? I think so. Where they now think Parkinson's disease is because of a bacterial flora biosphere imbalance. Because everybody that has Parkinson's has their digestive flora is way off. Well, it's probably the drugs. See? So if you take antibiotics, it'll wipe out all but yeast of the floras. Yeast can overgrow, and then it blocks your ability to absorb protein and convert it to amino acids, so you have chronic fatigue, and if you don't fix that, then you get fibromyalgia. So it's really a gut situation. And there's a way to deal with that. You can do it all by yourself. It was a diet Dr. Christopher taught us in herbal school. You have to starve the yeast. So you have to come off your carbohydrates or anything that converts the sugar. So sugar, carbohydrates, alcohol. And you can have brown rice, which is a complex carb. And then raw, steamed, or stir-fried vegetables. And then some fermented products like sauerkraut, kimchi, or pickled beets. And this, you stay on this diet, and this will help restore those floras. Now, you can add some probiotics if you want, but you just stay on this diet until your energy comes back. That's when you know the floras are back. So you can do that all on your own. And you don't have to go see specialists. You don't have to go to the pain clinic. You don't have to get injections. And, you know, and you can get out of bed and have a life. It's astonishing, isn't it? how complex we make things, but it's really quite simple what the fix is. Now, obviously, there is a nutritional lack in a majority of the foods that we select to eat, so we have to be real discerning. So we can try to compensate. You know, we can grow our own stuff, get more organic produce into the diet. That's good. You know, think whole foods, think basics, think Mediterranean diet, think cooking in the kitchen yourself. It's all these convenient pop it in the microwave or whatever stuff. You want to stay away from that. It's dead food. It doesn't have the nutrition that it should have. So grass-fed meats, free-range chickens and eggs, and fish that, you know, doesn't come from polluted waters, apparently. And stick with that. It's basic. And by the way, when you get in there and spend a half hour making stuff, you know, you have your meat source, you have your carb, and you have your vegetables and fruits. You can manage your weight so much better. You don't have to worry about diet plans. So when you get the nutrition in with this food that's organic, okay, you have more live enzymes. The hunger mechanism, your hunger reaction is turned off when you got the food going in there that's good for you. The body's not hungry anymore. It's satisfied. So you're not hungry. You're not stuffing a bunch of chips in the mouth and donuts and things like that, which have a lot of carb, empty calories. You're being more selective, you know, and, you know, fruits and vegetables and balanced foods, entree meals, and don't go overboard on the meats, 4 ounces or less, and you'll be good. So people all over the world, kind of in the same boat, they're looking for a way to counter the attack to their well-being. 200 years ago, no one knew what a vitamin was, nor did they know if food was going to be available the next week. So organ cleansing is kind of a different matter. It's a natural therapy that we use. They kind of did the same thing thousands of years ago, but they just didn't call it that. So our ancient ancestors used foods and herbs and natural therapies like organ cleansing to prevent and deal with diseases. And the ancients really didn't have to defend themselves from, you know, other industries when they did this. So they didn't have to, you know, worry about Monsanto and Eli Lilly and Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, and GlaxoSmithKline and Merck and Pfizer and all these others. Unfortunately, we have to worry about them. So we have to defend ourselves from an industrial attack and from the principalities of darkness that could be influencing these areas. So most of you are aware that the term pharmaceutical comes from the Greek word pharmakia, and it's an ancient word that means witchcraft. So the witchcraft of the ancient world included a lot of alchemy, and unfortunately, they're saying modern medicine doesn't do that today, but they do. They use heavy metals in vaccines, and that's what alchemists were using. So they still do that. So I turn to the scripture and what God's saying to do to have better health. It's all in there. How to be healthy and well is in the Holy Bible. He explains everything to you. And he even tells you, wisdom beyond anybody's years. Well, you know, people that have read the Bible know, and they tend to understand, you know, money answereth all things. So if you wanted to know where this corruption's coming from, it's about the money. It's about power and money and control of others. That's what it's about. So if you're wondering where it's coming from, that's where it's coming from. It's from not a good side. It's from the dark side. So we have to be wise and be aware and discerning of these things. And there's nothing like the Bible that's going to make you wise that way. The Bible is the way to go. You'll find all your answers to depression in there. Family struggles, financial struggles, wellness. It's all there. Crack it open. Read it. I was talking to someone today, Frank. They said the word apothecary is in the Bible. They were like astonished. I said, yeah, it's an old term. It's In the Old Testament, the apothecaries were the ones that God chose. You had to be chosen by God to make the anointing oils. And so just not anybody could make anointing oils in biblical times. So you were chosen to do that. So apothecary is a very old term. And us folks at Apothecary Herbs just love it. We love that term. And it speaks to giving glory and honor unto God for all his medicinal plants that he's given us for our wellness. He gets all the credit every day, all the time. So if you crack open your Bible, here are the passages you might want to look at where God's encouraging you to seek after the natural herbs, the medicinal herbs for wellness. Right off the bat, Genesis chapter 1, verses 29 and 30. Psalms 104:14, Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7, and Revelations 22, verse 2, right at the end of the Bible. So you're going to see throughout the Bible many other passages, but there's just a few where God's saying, hey, you know, I gave you things like dandelion root that now Windsor Medical University just discovered a few years ago that kills all known cancer, you know. And hey, you know, I gave you these herbs for blood cleansing. And hey, I gave you these nutritional elements with lots of minerals in it to help the bones make healthy blood. And hey, I gave you these herbs to clean the filters of your kidneys, this fine, delicate filter, so you don't have stones and kidney cancer. I gave you these things, the Lord says. You know, you don't want to stand there one day and hear, well, why didn't you use them? The only right answer is I did everything I could. So, the temple of the body that you have, God owns it, but he wants you to take care of it. You're taking care of it. It houses the Holy Spirit, so it's the temple of the Holy Spirit. So let's not grieve God and the Holy Spirit, and let's do our due diligence. Now, there are exceptions. Like I said, if you're in a trauma, yeah, you have to seek medical care, but you know, for all the other little things, we have to exercise our due diligence. All the common little things, we should exercise it and protect the body from toxicity and assault from drugs that may make you dependent or addicted or whatever. So we need to be smart. We need to research our therapies, and we need to be selective. See? That's how that works. And God's herbs are good. They're here for the service of man and the healing of the nations, and God can't lie. If you would like more information that's absolutely free on herbs and natural therapies, go to the powerherbs.com website, thepowerherbs.com. Click on books and newsletters and sign up for their newsletters. They're absolutely free, and they go out each and every week, and you'll get information on natural therapies and latest research and medicine and stuff like that. So a lot of stuff, food for thought, things that help you figure stuff out and empower you. That's what it's about, and they're absolutely free. So the American Survival goes out the first part of the week, and the Health Quest goes out towards the end of the week. So you get information to you can digest a whole week long and be well. ThePowerHerbs.com. That's right, because if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. That's what you need. I can see by the clock that I'm out of time, but guess what? The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before you use any product or therapy. But I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, I wish you all to be well.